I'll be talking about an effort that the consortium has been effecting over the last couple of years, and that we're publicizing, making public just the last couple of months, and hope for your involvement and cooperation and participation. So I think most of you then know these issues, that everybody and his brother says that interoperability is wonderful. We believe that interoperability is key to public health to break the silos. And problematically, public health has a low level of representation in the national discourse, at the same time knowing that the MU public health criteria are really helping us a lot in this regard. Public health is at risk of not getting its unique and important needs met, either to do work better or to achieve better population health. And the next step is tricky, that only public health professionals can advocate adequately for public health. We can't outsource this, and we can't have can't hope that the clinicians who may be involved in the immunization registries, for instance, as providers of immunization data, may understand what the full picture and scope. And so how can we increase the participation of public health in this national discourse? So what I'll be giving you in the next 15 minutes or so is our conception of a business case, outlining our plan for increasing participation, present the development of a resource, and demonstrate the use and updating of the resource. I think I'll be focusing on, in terms of making the business case, we've built something that we call an interactive model, which is based on a website, the Public Health Data Standards Consortium website, and it involves these four modules, what we call adoption stories. This is a combination of just sites and IT projects and ongoing and real-life IT resources that are in use by public health around the nation, primarily around the nation, as well as some international, and narratives about what worked and what didn't work. And Standards Resource Center, articulating the needs for HRT projects and then encouraging public health participation. Now, those of you who are familiar with with behavior change, we basically follow the trans-theoretic model for behavior change, where this is pre-adoption, this is adoption, and this is actually getting it done, and recidivism, and we leave to the audience members, those of you who've tried it and need a refresher. There was a joke. Louder, okay, sorry. In terms of developing these resources, since we are the Data Standards Consortium and big believer in standards, we felt obligated to try to follow a standard approach to software development and to use our functional requirements analysis document as the architecture document for this process. So goal, participant, functions, activities, non-functional requirements, software and evaluation plan and timeline, as you see. So what I'll be going through is this process that we went through, the design of the repository, how we filled it, how we started filling it, or how we bootstrapped it, the issue of categorization, which I'll explain in a few minutes, the redesign that we've done and publishing it now. So each module is represented as part of basically an entity relationship diagram. So the focus of module one, these stories, is HRT products, so HRT resources or HRT projects that are in use, as I said, mostly nationally, if not internationally. And hopefully we get a narrative associated with the project and maybe comments as well from the community as they look at these things. So here's module one in here. The larger perspective is over here. We have module two, module three, module four. So module two focuses on standardization efforts, because after all, the idea is to encourage the participation in standardization. Module three is recognizing the local, what's going on at the local programs where participants may be coming from. And module four is the real focus of getting human beings from public health agencies and other stakeholders to participate in these standardization activities. So even though you'll be seeing different faces on the website, they're all the engine underlying it is this integrated understanding of participation and standardization and products. So this is just to show you that there is a real ER diagram with real fields and real IDs, and it's not just vaporware. To get the first 250 projects and products, we use students at Johns Hopkins and staff at HLN, going through a wide range of domains and functions, as I said, mostly domestic, focusing on active websites and some documents. In addition to searching for these, the main idea was to categorize. Now, the categorization was to help you going to, actually, let me start off. I start off by thinking about me. So when I'm at the university and I have faculty who say, what is informatics? How does it help me? And let's say they're in maternal and child health, they'll want to see a website or a project about maternal and child health. There might be one international, but they want to see maternal and child. Or let's say they're involved in enforcement to use an IOM essential function. They'll say, well, I want to see somebody else doing enforcement or how they use IT or standards for that essential function. So we wanted to tag all these sites at least by domain and by function, because we figured that would speak to the stakeholders that we wanted to engage. The next levels of tagging had to do more from the informatics side of things, to come up with, all right, I understand domain and function now. There are different phases of informatics, and there are different phases of standardization, and we want to tag projects along those lines as well to make it easy to find. Because if you say, find me all public health IT projects that are involved with HL7, let's say, you're not going to get it unless somebody has tagged it in specifically that way. So on the website, you will see a place for advanced search, and that basically uses these tagging schemes. So here are the domains from the CDC plus a few more. Here are the business, what we call business processes, but are based on the essential services. You can see here informatics and standardization activities. So every site and project is tagged by the searcher along these lines, making it easier for the user to find. So they want to convince a stakeholder, they can match the stakeholder's needs as closely as possible. So I mentioned that the domains are CDC plus, that the business processes go from assessment to research. The informatics functions follow the data flow, follow the life cycle of data, and the standardization phases follows the harmonization phases from needs and priorities, development, harmonization, implementation, certification, and adoption. And finally, the activities that are somewhat related to those. So you can see here I've circled on this diagram where those different taggings live, just to show you that they fit on this underlying design as well. Let me show you this slide. Now, ideally, we should have this many projects, and I didn't want to show you the number because it's a lot, and it's got too many zeros, TNTC, as they say, too numerous to count. But it would be nice to have at least the sum of these, which is about 50. So at least one in every area. So that's what we have about. We started out with 200 to 300. We started out with 200. We vetted those sites, went looking for more, and kind of rearticulated the type of sites and projects that we wanted to represent. So we wanted to represent all systems as well as those dependent on standards, so not just those that where we could find what the standards were. While we weren't aiming at exhaustiveness, because again, the goal here is to give you tools to go engage your stakeholders. At the same time, we would accept multiple examples, and we weren't going to be, you know, say, oh, we have an immunization registry. We don't want any more. We'll take as many as can come up. We want the sites to be active, and so we want them to be updated, and we want them to be interactive and not just to report. We want them to be as current as possible. We want them to be accessible, and not through a subscription or a real subscription. In other words, a fake subscription, you know, make up a username and password would be fine, but anything more than that would be out of our scope. And we must have more substantive information and not just the publicizing brochure. So publication is making the site active, and I just realized I don't have the QR code for the site. So if you Google on PHDSC, in the bottom right-hand corner you will see HIT stories, and you'll get and see the get be able to search on these sites.